Good morning. Happy long weekend. Here's the thing. One of the thoughts that came to me as we were in the worship time there is that you don't have to wait till a Sunday to experience the presence of God with you. That when you give your full attention to God, God has his attention on you. And when you join God in that, God will meet you. It could be at your workplace, it could be in your home, it could be in your car. God is present everywhere. And so you don't have to wait. The communal worship is beautiful, it's a gift, but you need to know God is always available. That's one of the beauties of the once Jesus came and resurrected and the church was birthed, is that the body became the temple that God resides in, which is beautiful. Not the building. The building is just the building. That's all it is. Oh, by the way, if you are visiting, you don't know who I am. I'm one of the pastors here at the Cambridge Vineyard, and so glad to have you here this morning. And we have been on a long journey over the past year and a quarter, something like that. There's a pivotal teaching from Jesus that's recorded in Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel. And we've called it we being the church in general for centuries, the Sermon on the Mount. It's a pivotal teaching that Jesus brings. What Jesus teaches is foundational. It's something that you build your faith on. And you find it in Matthew's chapters 5, 6, and 7, and Luke chapter 6. And we are in chapter 7 of Matthew. And it gets really interesting, his teaching, as Matthew unpacks it. And even Luke himself, near the end, it just becomes, I wouldn't say it's not hard-hitting, but it's very pointed. And it's teachings that we need to sit up, take notice, and just pay attention to. It's healthy for us. It's good for us. And so, without further ado, let's continue. So, all of you know that last weekend I couldn't make it to church because I was, like, tired. And I did that ultra marathon out in at Shades Mill Park and did well. 81 kilometers, 81 and a quarter kilometers. I count every meter. I threw myself into it. And one little hiccup. And it was around three quarters of the way through. I just noticed my stomach just feeling a bit going sideways on me a bit. And it was like, because you have to eat, right? You're supposed to be consuming like 100 to 200 calories an hour. And it's like, I don't really want to eat. I actually understood why, if you've ever owned a dog and they're sick and you try to offer them food, you know what the dog does, right? They just look away, right? They don't look at you. And that's what I felt like. Just no, don't show me any food right now because I don't think my stomach can handle it. And it just went sideways. Now, here's the thing. The training I did and the podcast I listened to on ultra marathons, they talk about your digestive system just going sideways. And the pros talk about how they, to push through it, what they do to overcome it is they will force food into themselves sometimes, make themselves eat. They might vomit. But they said the body does something funny that it resets itself, sort of, and eventually you push through and you can carry on. And when I heard that and when I read that, it was like, that would suck, right? Because I don't like vomiting at all, like, at all, right? Yeah, I just, no. And so when I was feeling that, it was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And so I ate a little bit, and I drank a wee little bit, and eventually things subsided, and I headed out for three more laps around because it was a lap of 6.25 kilometers. And I was so thankful that the pros were willing to share their challenges, their pitfalls, the times where they ran races and they didn't finish, and how they overcame it, and how they got through it, and how they dealt mentally with it, because, yeah, the mental game kicked in also, you know. So everything came that day. And it was quite the experience. But I'm glad that I listened to the pros, and I'm glad that I trained accordingly. Because they warned about, you're going to face the obstacles. Understand, you're going to have times when you do these ultras and you're not going to finish it. You're not going to be able to do it. Something's going to go wrong. It's inevitable. Prepare for it. Plan for it. And it was a warning. It was a heads up. Don't go in there thinking you're going to, you know, just be stellar. Not going to happen. In fact, a number of them said that I heard on the podcast and that, they said, something will go wrong in every race. Just figure it out. But I share all that with you because Jesus gives us, you and me, a warning that he wants us to pay attention to about in our faith journey, as we journey following him. In Matthew 7, starting at verse 15, Jesus has these words. Because I want to talk about this whole thing of being aware of those who are cleverly disguised. And it says this, Jesus says this to you and I, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. Good tree can produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down, thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Basically, what Jesus is saying is you're going to have people who come along, and they could be church leaders or just people who are, and I'm talking about in the faith, as far as the Christian faith goes, they could be church leaders, they could be notable people that you've read about or heard, and maybe the, you know, they might have written books, or maybe they operate in the spiritual gifts really phenomenally, and it just seems really impressive, and they could be a fantastic speaker, have maybe hundreds of thousands of followers on social media, etc., etc. You know, the superstar Christian. You know those? I don't know if you've ever met any of those. I have. Not me. Right? And you come away from them, though. If you come away from someone like that and you go, gosh, you know what? Something seems off. Something just doesn't seem right here. You know, I don't know what it is, but just something just doesn't seem right. And Jesus says to us, just because someone looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, doesn't mean they're a duck. That's what Jesus is saying in here, to be careful, to watch out. And we got to talk about this, because this is Jesus gets really personal here, right? He exposes something that's a reality for us, that we have to pay attention to. And if we're not careful, if I'm not careful, guess what? I can be misled. Guess what? You can be misled. And that's why we have to follow. Jesus calls us to follow with our eyes wide open. That's why Jesus makes that statement, be as shrewd as a serpent, innocent as a dove. In other words, it's walking with wisdom. That's what it is. It's walking with wisdom. Right? Not being just gullible, taking everything in that you see. And Jesus gives us a litmus test that we can use. And what it is, what he's saying there, that word actions, in some translations it says you can identify people by their fruit. What that speaks of is people's conduct, their deeds, their actions, what they do, right? That's the litmus test. You pay attention to what is the motivation behind what they are doing or what they are saying. It's sort of like watching their life behind the scenes. How are they with people? How do they treat other people? What do you observe? And Jesus is, he's speaking this to his followers. You pay attention to their actions. Because actions and conduct always flow from what's within a person's heart. Jesus says, whatever comes out of your mouth comes from your heart. It's what's in your heart. Right? And so Jesus says, pay attention. Be careful. Those are pitfalls and challenges. That's one of them, one of the key ones to watch out for. It's very, very important. So what is the fruit that we're looking for? Well, take you to Paul's letter to the Galatians, right? And most of us know it. Paul writes this to them. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I don't know if that's exhaustive or if there's others that Paul would have added. Nonetheless, that is what Jesus is saying we need to be looking for right there. And the question all of us must ask is the fruit that I'm seeing from someone, is it rooted in the character of God? Because if it isn't, Jesus says to be careful. Watch out. Watch your step. Watch what you're listening to. I know, real exciting teaching, eh? But Jesus gets right to it. And it's up to us to know how to respond properly. It's up to me. It's up to you. It's up to us. If you see some amazing skills or abilities or giftings being exhibited by someone, you look for the fruit, though. Go back 3 weeks ago, I showed the picture of an iceberg, right? The majority of an iceberg is underneath the water. That's what took the Titanic out, not what's up above. And leader gurus who talk about leadership and all that, they'll tell you, when we hire people, we generally hire but what we see, which is skills, training, education, things like that. You get fired for what's underneath, which is all the character stuff. All the character that is lacking. That's what comes out. That's what sinks the person's ship. Jesus is saying the same sort of thing. Look for the fruit. Look for this. Pay attention. Eyes wide open. Don't just because someone is popular go, yay. Jesus warns against that. Pay attention. Because generally, that's the person you need to sidestep. When you read a book from some of your favorite authors, here's a question for you. When you read a book, do you read it critically? Meaning, do you read it not just because they say it, therefore it's got to be true? Do you read it and think through it and go, I might agree with this and this, but I don't necessarily agree with that? Do you discern? When you're listening to podcasts of someone, maybe your favorite, speaker, when you're watching a YouTube, when you're watching somebody who's your favorite YouTube pastor or preacher or teacher, do you listen critically? Because that's what Jesus is calling us for. Not just to take it all in. Be discerning. Be discerning. There's a really good story, and I'm thankful for Luke who captures it in the book of Acts. Let me set the stage for what was going on here. So the church was birthed. You had the stories of Peter and John going in the temple for their prayer times. They meet a poor man at the door begging for money, and they have no money. And they go, we don't have any money, but what we have you, we can give you. And they say, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And the man is healed and is rejoicing. The man goes in with them, dancing or whatever, jumping for joy for what has happened to him. The church experienced persecution, and the church is forced out beyond Jerusalem. And guess where some of them go? End up into the area of Samaria. For Jewish people, God forbid, right? It's like going to the other side of the tracks. But they go into Samaria, and one of the people that went there was Philip. And Philip was a natural evangelist. And so he was bringing the good news. He was taking time to talk about this good news of Jesus. And people were getting saved. And it was amazing. And Luke records that word got back to church in Jerusalem, to the apostles there. And so they sent out Peter and John. Can you go see what's going on here? Because this is Samaria. This is Samaritans who are apparently becoming followers of Jesus. What's that all about? Right? And Peter and John go. And Luke adds in there that one of the people in Samaria, one of the Samaritans who became a believer, his name was Simon. He was a sorcerer. But he was well known in Samaria. People loved him. He was popular and famous. They had two names that they would call him. One was the Great One. Sounds like Houdini, right? But the Great One. Another name they called Simon was the Power of God, because all these signs and wonders took place through him. And Simon loved it. No, he didn't tell people he loved it. But he loved it. He loved the attention, right? This message from Philip about the good news of Jesus and what Jesus had done, Simon became a believer as well and followed. And so then Peter and John show up, right? And they're observing. And they ask people, so did you get baptized? Oh yeah, we got baptized in the name of Jesus. What about the Holy Spirit? Did you get baptized with the Holy Spirit? No, we didn't hear about the Holy Spirit. Oh, and so they would lay hands on people and people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Simon saw this and Simon was like, wow, I want that. I could add it to my repertoire, right? Like, and so I'm going to read, this is in Acts chapter 8, probably around verse 18, something like that, maybe something like that. But I'm reading from the version called The Message. It's more of an earthy, contemporary read. And this is what it says. When Simon, that's the sorcerer, saw that the apostles, by merely laying hands on, conferred the Spirit, he pulled out his money. Remember, Peter and John, they went into that temple, they had no money. He pulled out his money. It says, excited, and said, sell me your secret. Show me how you did that. How much money do you want? Name your price. It'd be tempting for Peter and John, right? It was just a while ago, they went into the temple, they had no money. Name our price. Well, but they're dealing with Peter and John here. Right? That's what he's dealing with. He doesn't realize that. Name your price. I'm going to put this up on the screen here, what they said here. Peter said, to hell with your money and you along with it. Why, that's unthinkable. Trying to buy God's gift, you'll never be part of what God is doing by striking bargains and offering bribes. Change your ways and now ask the master to forgive you for trying to use God to make money. I can see this is an old habit of you. You reek with money lust. Oh, said Simon, pray for me. Pray to the master that nothing like that will ever happen to me. Peter saw the fruit of Simon and called him on it. Because that would have been a danger for the church, for the new believers that were following. Peter called him on it. Peter saw it. Peter went in there. So he goes to Samaria. He could have seen Simon and been in awe too, going, wow, look at this guy. Let's make him a leader of the church here. Let's plant a church. Make Simon the sorcerer the leader. People think he's the power of God. Like, wow. No. Peter went in, John went in, eyes wide open. Who is this guy? There's something that doesn't smell right here. And they just waited.
Spiritual pride.
Right. And they just waited. And then it happened. Simon pulls out a wad of bills. How much do you want? Name your price. Bang, got him. Right? That's where our discernment was right. Beware of those who are cleverly disguised. Jesus says to you and I, just because it looks good or it looks popular or it might have the best most followers on YouTube, careful. So what Jesus is saying, watch. Don't just eat everything that is served up to you. Next thing this passage tells us about, which speaks to me anyway, is to normalize pitfalls and challenges in life and in your faith journey. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Like I said, going back to my story about the doing the ultra marathons, I can't tell you the number of times I heard things are going to go sideways for you. Plan for it, prepare for it, push through it. They have a name for it. They call it the pain cave. You're going to go in there. So just get used to it, right? It's inevitable. And that is no more negative talk than a weather forecaster telling you it's going to be rainy and stormy today. That's just a reality. And the smart person, the wise person, puts on a raincoat or takes an umbrella with them. It's being discerning. It's reality. And I've wondered to myself, and I don't know if you've ever wondered this, but why we as a church, not this, I don't mean this, local, I mean the church in general, we tend to make a big deal about our personal challenges and pitfalls as we follow Jesus. We do. It's like there's a call that if you're going to run the race, don't have any problems. Or don't tell us about them if you do. Right? Don't tell us. Don't want to know. Don't talk about it. We're afraid. We're afraid to do that. That if sometimes it can be that if you're a good Christian, you won't have the struggles. Or certain struggles. You can have some struggles, but certain ones you better not have. We'll even distance ourselves from people. I've caught myself doing that because someone's struggling with something, you know, you just sort of back away a bit, right? That's called rejection. Thank goodness that didn't happen to me last weekend when my appetite went and stomach went sideways. It didn't, because everybody was in it together. We all were aware of it. Because don't you ever wonder why when in Scripture when it says confess your sins to one another? We don't. Rarely. And that doesn't mean standing up here confessing your sins. That means, you know, in your small group or with someone you really trust. We don't tend to do that. We'll confess them to Jesus. And that's all, I'm not sure about confessing with you. Why? It's risky. And so we don't do it. We just don't do it. But challenges and pitfalls in my faith journey are a reality for me, guys. And they're a reality for you. I can dress up as nice as anything, and I can say all the nice words, all the right words. But there's challenges and pitfalls that we face. Have you not been walking through life, and all of a sudden something's hit you? And I'm talking about your faith, big question marks start to come up. Boom. I've heard people, I've sat with people who have said, who've been followers, and look at me and go, I'm out. Why? Nothing makes sense. Well, what happened? Well, I didn't expect that this would happen to me. I thought if I became a Christian, God would look after me. Well, God does. Well, why did this happen to me then? Why didn't God protect me? Wrong question. And that's a bigger discussion, right? Those things are bigger discussions. But we all have our weaknesses, and the weaknesses do not disqualify you. It's helping one another through this. They're going to come. They're going to happen. And the beautiful thing of what I love about Scripture, what I love about the Gospels and Jesus' teachings, Paul's teachings, is that they're straight up about the challenges that come. They're straight up with it. They don't hide it. Jesus was very plain when he said, and it's recorded in John, the end of chapter 16 of John's Gospel. In this world, you can finish it. You will have trouble. Jesus said that. But he said, you know, take hope. I have overcome this world. So remember, he said, you're going to have trouble. But how do we get through that? Well, we cling to Jesus. We walk with discernment. That's how we get through it. We get through with one another. That's how we get through it. That's how we go through. But I'll touch more on that. Let me just continue on here. Know that Jesus doesn't get weirded out by your challenges and pitfalls. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed when you've had that question mark and you come back and you pray to God, you don't see God coming down? Why did you doubt? You know, I'm going to pound you. Not that he's going to pound you, but you know what I mean? God doesn't do that. He understands things become challenging. He understands that. We have our questions. We have our doubts. They come along the way. Life happens. Jesus is fine that you're going to have challenges and pitfalls. You're going to face that in your journey. What Jesus is concerned about is if you don't heed his warnings. That's what Jesus is concerned about. And we'll get to that as we come to the end of his teaching. But let's deal with this first. I want you to think of Jesus like the weather forecaster. He's telling you false prophets will come, guys. There's a lot of people out there, and there's some real, if you listen to enough documentaries on Netflix or that, they have documentaries on wackos that are out there. But you don't even have to talk about the wackos that are out there. Just be careful. You got to be careful even within the church. You have to have discernment. The Bereans in Acts there, they got commended. Why? Because they looked at the scriptures. They heard what the apostles were saying to them, what they were teaching, but they went back to the scriptures. And just because it was an apostle that was, you know, blessed by the church in Jerusalem didn't mean they're just going to take everything Paul had to say or Peter or John, hook, line, and sinker, right? They're going to weigh it out. And they got commended for that because they did that. That's smart. That's wise living. And that's what Jesus calls us to live wisely. We have to follow Jesus with eyes wide open and be prepared for when the challenges come. I don't know if you don't think it's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to you. It's going to come. Some of you are in that place right now. And guess what? It's normal. It's just normal. It's how you're going to deal with it. How you're going to walk this out. Like I said 2 or 3 weeks ago there. If Jesus came along and said, you know that one little point in your theology? You need to change that. Would you change it? If Jesus said to change it, would you change it? Jesus has to be Lord even over our theology, what we believe about God. Jesus has to be. Jesus has to be the North Star in our lives. Has to be. Another example of his warnings. Matthew 24, if you're familiar with Matthew's gospel at all, when Jesus, in Matthew, when he comes into the latter part of, just before Jesus goes to the cross, there's this teaching in Matthew 24 about the last days that will be coming. And people will study that. We study that. We try to figure out, is this the last days? This must be the last days. I see this is all happening, you know, and we try to figure this out. We miss sometimes some of the points that Jesus is making. Here in Matthew 24, there's another warning. And I just want to read, I'm going to read 9 to 12 and 23 to 25. Jesus says, he says at one point, speaking of the last days when they come, then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. That's a heads up, what some followers will face. Then you'll be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You'll be hated all over the world because you are my followers, and many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets, again he says this, will appear and will deceive many people, and sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. Then jumping down to verse 23, he says this in verse 23. Come on. Then If anyone tells you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, don't believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. See, I have warned you about this ahead of time. I have warned you. Jesus has warned us. Warned us, it's going to happen. It could happen. Now, I don't know how you read that or how you process that, how you hear that when that's read, because maybe you hear this as some sort of cataclysmic demonic event that's going to take place at the end times. It's going to happen. How I hear it and how we need to hear this is simply as the reality of the faith journey and a heads up of what you may be faced with. There are believers who face this now today, have faced this in times past. They've been hated and killed and persecuted. Let's read some of Paul's accounts in the book of Hebrews, what some of the believers went through. Horrendous stuff that has taken place. And Jesus warned about it, that these things are going to happen in this period, in the last times. It will happen. Now, if you accept it as reality, and here's the thing, if you accept it that this is just going to happen, we're going to have our challenges and pitfalls, then train accordingly. And so in my ultra running, one of the things I had to do was go take food with you and do a long run. So you experience a taste of it. You don't have to do a full one, but do a long run. Take food with you and see what feels good to you and what doesn't feel good to you. Why? Because you don't want to find out that the food you've brought for your race is just churning your gut. Because that will take you out. That takes people out. So you train accordingly, and you prepare yourself. They have you do hill runs, run up and down a hill, up and down a hill, up and down, up and down a hill. Get exhausted, know what it feels like, so that when the time comes, you're ready. You're ready. You're not going, oh my gosh, what did I do? Right? You're ready. Train accordingly. Normalize it. It's going to happen. Prepare. Prepare for it. It will happen. Part of that training is discipleship. It's equipping. Part of that comes in heeding the warnings from Jesus and from the apostles of what you could face. That's a reality. From other believers, from people who are your mentors, who's mentoring you right now? Is anybody, do you have a coach, so to speak, to help you? We should. We all need one another. We need help. Because it's coming. It's just a matter of when. We don't know when it's coming, but it's coming, right? And we're all going to face challenges. We'll all face those. All of us. But I want you to know this. I want to talk to you about the other reality of what we've looked at today in the Sermon on the Mount. How you hear Jesus' teaching in his sermon makes all the difference. Because the question I have, does his teachings put doubt in your mind as to whether you are, you know, am I a bad tree? I don't know if you hear that or if you have this picture in your mind of Jesus wagging the finger at you, you know, like, you better watch out. I'm coming for you. I don't know if you hear that. Or do you hear it coming from a loving parent or a loving friend who wants the best for you and is giving you warning ahead of time of what you might face and is encouraging you and giving you insight and telling you, I'm going to be there for you. I'll be with you. How do you hear what you read of Jesus' teachings? How do you hear it? I'll tell you how I hear it. When I look at Jesus in the Gospels, what I see. When I look at how he treats people, It's with kindness. He's very attentive. Jesus is very compassionate, very inclusive of people. He allows anyone to come. When he multiplies the food to feed the people, he feeds whoever is hungry. He's very loving. And I remember what John says in his gospel, that Jesus is the one, the only one, who has revealed God to us fully. So I know that when I see Jesus, that's God. And God's heart is for you. God is like that good coach, like that loving parent, like that best friend who wants the best for you. And you know, when if you're a parent and you've had your kid go off to college, university, you want the best for them, don't you? And you want to give your kids, know this, these things may happen, but here's how you can handle these things. Because you want the best for them. And that's God's heart for us. God wants the best for you. The pitfalls and challenges are going to come. But God has given us things. Jesus teaches us specific things of how to discern, how to be careful, and how to keep our eyes on Him and keep walking forward, keep doing that movement forward. Wherever you see Jesus, that's God. And it's God's heart towards us. This plain talk, that comes from someone who loves us. That talk in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, that's because Jesus loves his disciples and loves anybody who's going to be following him. He doesn't want them to crash and burn. He doesn't want them to be like what happens to some runners is the DNF, did not finish. And they put that on on all the results. DNF, when you see that, it means just did not finish. Right? Something took them out. That doesn't mean they didn't train properly, just things take you out sometimes. Paul, he compares, I like Paul, because he compares the faith journey to a race. He uses that analogy a few times. So I don't know if Paul is a runner. Maybe he was. I don't know. Didn't have running shoes back then, so I don't know. Maybe they was bare feet. You know, could have been, right? He talks about, Paul says, that in order to run a race, you have to train for it. You have to equip yourself. That's just part of the deal. And effective training only happens when you can acknowledge the pitfalls and the challenges. If you ignore the pitfalls and the challenges, you do so at your own peril. Those challenges are going to happen. Don't ignore them. You can't wish them away. You can't declare them away. You can't do. They're there. It's reality. Just don't make a big deal about them. It's not that big of a deal. Let me tell you something. I didn't tell you all the story of what happened when things went sideways on me with my stomach. It's not like I just came in, had a bit to drink, and had a little bit of food, and you know, things started to clear up and off I went. No. I was a little concerned because to be a finisher I had to do 11 laps, and this was just after 10. And it was like, I feel horrible right now. But Glenn was there to help, and I remember him just standing right there with me, you know, in the pit as, you know, I came through. And Larry, he had finished his 50K, and he was done. And Glenn was just saying, hey, do you want to try this? You need to get something into you, Scott. Just have something. Here, make sure you drink. Do you want some Coke? Do you want some, you know, do you need that? And I was like, Coke? No, I don't need Coke right now. Right? It was like, I didn't know. I wasn't very helpful for him. Right? Because I don't know what I want, you know? And then Larry came up and said, hey, how about you just start walking, I'll walk with you in this lap. And it was like, okay, maybe I can do that. So, and then Glenn, thank goodness for Glenn, because he was chatting with some of the other people helping the runners, the other crew. And he said, just heads up. He said, like, some of them have, you know, popped some Tylenol. And he said, maybe, would that help? I said, I'll try it. I'll take it. So I popped 2 Tylenol, right? And that's some of that is, you know, deal with the pain and the tightness and all that stuff. And And Larry says, let's go. So, you know, and we just started heading out. The nice thing was there were some other people. There were some other women there that had these Bristol boards with things written on the Bristol board. And, you know, it was really encouraging as we were walking out, going, starting in the next lap. She held out the Bristol board and it said, moving forward is a pace. And they were going, yay. I was like, thank you. I don't know what you're yaying about. I don't feel so yay. But the nice thing is, so Larry and I walked. He walked with me for about 2 kilometers. And I started just to feel better. Just things, steam seemed to settle. I said, you know what, I'm going to have some water. And there was an aid station that we were going to be coming to at 3 kilometer mark. And I said, you know what, I think I can start a slow run here. And he said, oh, that's good. He says, I'll meet you back there. And so he headed back and I headed off. That happened because Glenn and Larry came around. They didn't have a problem that I was feeling sideways. They just came along and they said, hey, what do you need? What can I do to help? That's what we need. When we hit those places, we need others to come along and say, what do you need? Can I walk with you? Can I just walk with you for a bit? And see and just see how you do? Somebody holding up just a Bristol board. Some of us just need that, right? Moving forward is a pace. You're doing good that you're breathing. You know, good for you. You know, someone hold up a placard here on Sunday. You showed up. Good for you. It's why we need small groups, guys. It's why we got to get together in smaller gatherings, because sometimes we need that. We just need someone to come along and say, it looks like you're having a hard time. Yep, I'm having a hard time. I'm going to throw up pretty soon. Well, let me walk with you. You know, let me help you here. And the reason we run, we are running for the life that Jesus offers us now and for the prize that awaits us when he returns. That's how we do it. We keep our eyes on that, not on the challenges and pitfalls. We don't let them take us out. Why? Because we know what we're running for. We know why we're following. It's life that Jesus offers. We want it. I want that. I know it's going to come. I know it's going to happen. And so I'll keep moving forward. And I need some of you sometimes when I'm going through the difficult times to hold up that Bristol board that says, moving forward, Scott, is a pace. Good for you. Yay, you. You're putting one foot in front of another. That's good. And we'll leave you with these words from Paul, 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. Paul says this, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize, so run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. That's why we do it. That's why we're following, guys. Why we're doing it. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete trained to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Guys, we can come, we can sing, we can listen, we can hear, but we got to train, we got to equip. We're going to face the challenges and pitfalls in life. We are. You just are. We need to grow. We need to mature. This is a beautiful journey. And the stronger we get, the better we become. It becomes a more glorious journey. And when we do it together, it's amazing what you can get through. Had I been by myself when my stomach went sideways, would have. Where's my car? I'm getting out of here. But I had 2 people come along. I had others, people who didn't even know me, just come along. Good job. Good for you. Good to see you going. Right? Just little things like that. It was just nice. You know, every time you come in, you cross over that chip mat, you know, and the timer goes off. Somebody there, the DJ there goes, hey, Scott Rose in for another lap. But on that 10th lap, oh, there's Scott Rowe. He's in. Yeah, I'm not feeling good. Leave me alone. Hey, look, God truly cares about you. He's for you. He wants you to win. He wants you to finish the race. He really does. He doesn't want you to get weirded out by your challenges and pitfalls you have. They're going to happen. Troubles will come. But God's promised to be with us, to walk with us. He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us and to equip us. and his presence is there. It's here. It's here. It's always with us, in us. And that's the good news. That's the kindness of God. That's the God we get to follow. And that's the God we get to tell other people about. It's this God. And other people need to know that, right?
Amen.
Thank you. So remember, hold up that placard for me at times, okay? Because I'll need that. I need that. Let's pray. Father, I just pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, would you come right now and would you begin to just speak to people's heart, Lord? And we just pray, Lord, help us to see you in the light you want us to see you in. Show us the lens we need to look through to see the God that you really are, the God that is for us, the God that walks with us, the God that never leaves us, never forsakes us, always equips us, always will strengthen us. Lord, we want to be able to say with Paul, when I feel weak, then I am strong. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus, we give you all the praise and all the love and all the glory. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're cheering us on. We thank you, Jesus, for that cloud of witnesses that is with you and looks down and cheers us on. We thank you for one another, Lord, who come alongside us and walk with us and help us. We thank you for past Christians, Lord, who have equipped us when we were kids. And Father, we pray we can be that to our kids as well, to the kids here, that we can be those who can come alongside and help them and equip them. So Holy Spirit, we just thank you. We thank you for the privilege of being your followers. Thank you for your love for us. Amen.